Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Like a Midas touch by the very first time, I make decisions with my wallet, not my mind. Too much money for one person to control. Ooh, audacity will not buy back your soul.
Hello, and welcome to Too Much Money, the podcast that asks, does being a billionaire make you crazy, or do you need to be crazy to be a billionaire? I'm Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Joe Piazza.
And we're your hosts.
We are not billionaires.
No, we are not. But we are fascinated by billionaires, and that's why we wanted to go deep on some of the wildest, weirdest, and quite honestly, most wasteful stories about how billionaires have spent their money. So today we are bringing you the story of an Orange County, California hedge funder who got into a multi-year feud with his neighbor over a statue in his yard that cost $1 million.
Just gives me like the shivers the second
right.
You say that.
Right, because it's like they clearly had nothing better to do than get into a years-long feud over million-dollar statues.
Paying $1 million for a single statue.
Yeah.
It just knocks my socks off, like my Aunt Mary would have said. My socks off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty wild. Let's talk about this story. But before we get into like the actual details of the story, I know you've been to Southern California.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
I want to just like...
I just left Southern
You just
California,
left SoCal. I want to just like set the scene for you. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're in Laguna Beach, which some might say is the ultimate like SoCal beach town.
Right. I'm in my head when you say Laguna Beach. First off, I think about the show Laguna Beach.
Yes.
And the introduction to that show and also the hills and just like the sweeping, the sweeping, like beautiful beach and the houses overlooking the ocean with all the glass.
Yes. So much glass.
Yeah.
Yes. We're talking like beautiful houses, beautiful views, beautiful people. But. You know, the hills and Laguna Beach, and then the other shows about Orange County, like The Real Housewives, The O.C.
Right. Yes. The O.C. theme song is what had started to play in my head.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm.
California. Yeah.
We should play that. I mean,
we definitely should get the rights to that song.
We can't afford the license on that, but we could maybe hum it at some point.
But what I was going to say is, like, you know, I said the beautiful houses, the beautiful views, the beautiful people. But as we kind of see on all of these shows, there's often much more just sort of like lingering and lurking beneath the surface.
Mm-hmm. Of course there is.
Right. It's not all just like shimmering oceans and blonde hair. There's like there's some intrigue. There's some not so great stuff that goes on.
And resentment, I imagine.
And resentment.
Like, and this is what I'm here for. Because I think in like every billionaire story, I want to know the moment where something goes a little right. off.
What is that moment? And in this story, does it involve the theme song from Gilligan's Island? And what I can tell you is the answer is yes.
What?
I know. We'll get to that. Okay. So we're in Orange County. We're on a beautiful stretch of the South Pacific Coast Highway, PCH, Highway 1, the highway that runs along the coast in most of California. And I think almost wherever you go on PCH, the real estate is pricey. Like we're talking millions or tens of millions of dollars. And in this instance, we are talking about one of the most exclusive stretches in Orange County.
Okay.
And we have
so the richest of the rich.
The richest of the rich. And we have two houses. One was given the name Rockledge by the Sea by one of its previous owners. And a real estate listing described it as, and I quote, one of the most extraordinary oceanfront compounds in Laguna Beach. The house is 10,000 square feet. The lot is almost an acre. And remember, we are on the beach.
Right.
So we're on an acre lot on the beach. The primary bedroom suite alone is nearly 3,000 square feet, which is like basically twice the size of my house.
Bigger than my entire house in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so that's just the primary bedroom suite. Okay, there's an 8-person elevator. There's 3 guest suites with ocean views. There's a kitchen and a caterer's kitchen.
You need a caterer's kitchen.
We need a caterer's kitchen because this is a home. This is a home for grand entertaining. Mm-hmm. This is
you know that it's a pricey home, like a grand home, because it has a name. Someone named it. My home does not have a name. Does your
no? No, mine doesn't either.
Okay, all right.
Mine doesn't either. So in July 2018, Rockledge by the Sea is purchased by a man named Bill Gross and his girlfriend Amy Schwartz, and they move in 2019. But this is their weekend home.
Oh, well, obviously. I mean, come on. This is clearly the way that you've been describing it. You know, when you have a 3,000 square foot master bedroom, that's the kind of place you want to be on the weekends. That's not your day. That's not your everyday house.
No, it's honestly it's a little cramped.
I need more space.
They need more space. Their main house is just up the road in Newport Beach. Like, it's not far away. Newport Beach is like the next town. And they also have another home in a city called Indian Wells, which is near Palm Springs, which people might be familiar with because there is a famous tennis tournament that happens in Indian Wells every March.
I was not familiar with that, but I know where Palm Springs is.
Yes, you know where Palm Springs is. And Indian Wells is a pretty fancy place. A lot of retirees live there. There's a lot of tennis and golf. And Amy and Bill both really like to play golf. So that's where they spend a lot of their time.
Great. So they've got three houses.
Three houses. Okay. Yep. So they move in. And not long after they move in, Bill gives Amy a present.
It's nice.
What are some things that like you might think you would get from your partner, like as a just like a nice gift?
As a nice gift from my partner?
Yeah.
I am trying to think of the last nice thing that my partner got me. A pickleball net. It's a nice, thoughtful thing.
Yeah.
I got a book. You got a nice hardcover new release.
That's also really thoughtful.
Yeah. Yep. And that's where we're at. What about you? What's Matt gotten you lately?
Well, Matt took me out to a really nice dinner for my birthday.
Which I really appreciated.
He got me a gift card for a new tennis racket.
These are nice things.
These are thoughtful things.
So what I assume is that what Bill got Amy?
Not exactly. Bill got Amy a $1 million sculpture.
Oh, is it made of diamond?
Well, it is made by the glass artist Dale Chihuly. Now, Joe, are you familiar with Dale Chihuly?
I am not familiar with Dale Chihuly, but for $1 million, I'm hoping that his glass sculptures come with J-Lo serenading you as he unveils it.
Unfortunately, they do not.
Bummer.
Yeah. So if you are familiar with the name Dale Chihuly, you are probably familiar with him because, and this is how I first encountered him, from his most famous installation, which is a glass sculpture on the ceiling of the Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas. The sculpture.
The stained glass?
It's not stained glass.
It kind of looks like glass bottles, kind of like coming
down. It's blown glass. Lots of flowers. Glass flowers. Uh-huh. The sculpture has a name, much like the house. The glass sculpture mm-hmm. in the Bellagio is called Fiori di Como. Mm-hmm. It was commissioned by Steve Wynn, who was then the owner of the Bellagio, for its opening in 1998. The sculpture itself is 2,100 square feet and cost $10 million in 1998. So, you know, whatever that is now, $25 million or something.
$25 million. Yeah.
Dale Chihuly is probably the most well-known glass artist in the world, or certainly I would say the most well-known like outside of the glass world.
Right. Yeah.
His sculptures are very colorful. They often evoke themes in nature like flowers, the ocean, etc.
Like jellyfishes.
Yes. That is water lilies, jellyfishes.
Yes. Exactly. Made out of glass.
Exactly.
And I've seen this in person. I know that I've seen this in person at the Bellagio. And I don't think that I knew that it was a priceless work of art.
You did not know you were in the presence of glass greatness.
I didn't. No.
And, you know, no. That's okay. But now, you know better, do better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Next time, you'll be aware.
Next time I will experience awe.
You will. Exactly. So, yeah. You know, Joe, you can buy a bowl from Dale Chihuly on his website, and it will cost you anywhere between $6,000 and $8,000. So you could have a Dale Chihuly piece in your home for the low price of sixteen.
So about what I would pay for childcare.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So anyway, Bill gets a sculpture for Amy. It's 22 feet long. It's like a series of orbs in different shades of blue. And then these tall sort of like blue spiky things that are sticking up from the orbs and also from the ground. And it looks vaguely ocean-y. The LA Times described it as an artwork that can be lighted at night and features cobalt-colored reeds stretching nearly 10 feet in height, swimming marlin, and globes inspired by traditional blown glass Japanese fishing boats.
I'm taking a look right now.
Okay. Right. Do you need me to send you the image, or have you found it on?
No. I'm here. I'm trying to find words. Is the thing?
Yes.
Yeah. It's. Yes. And that was $1 million. I like art. I do. And I'm not one of those people that walks into the MoMA or a fancy museum and looks at a Jackson Pollock and says, my kid could do that. I get it.
Yes.
Art is in the eye of the beholder. But I don't fully get this. It's fine. Isn't $1 million nice? No. To each his own.
Amy would disagree with you. Amy Schwartz, Bill's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She loves the sculpture. She is interviewed at one point and says, since I have no children of my own, they are like my babies. They being the orbs, I suppose.
Is it the orbs or the reeds?
We don't know. My mother, who has Alzheimer's, and I pray to them, and she enjoys looking at them because it's her favorite color and makes her smile.
I'm glad that this sculpture makes Amy so happy.
This makes her very happy.
Yeah.
But what
this is clearly her love language.
This $1 million sculpture is her love language. But what she and Bill don't realize initially is that, like, the sculpture is just out there. It's exposed to the elements.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got palm fronds, we've got leaves, we've got debris. It all is, like, attracted to the sculpture. And sometime in early 2020, the sculpture is damaged to the tune of $100,000, supposedly from a palm frond, which, now that I live in Southern California, I'm familiar with palm fronds. They are much heavier than they look. So, you know, I could see a world where a palm frond falls on this somewhat delicate looking sculpture and does damage it. But, like, what kind of, like, what do you expect? It's outside. So he and Amy decide to put up netting to protect the sculpture from the elements. Mm-hmm. And just a quick note before we go any farther about the geography of these houses, like, they're very expensive and it is on an acre lot, but they're very close together. Like, you can basically see inside everyone's houses and mm-hmm. you can see into people's yards, like, from the upstairs of the houses. There's not a ton of privacy. So, like, well, when Amy...
expensive real estate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously they're very close together. And the point is that they're overlooking the ocean.
They're overlooking the ocean.
Because you're looking outside.
Yes.
Okay.
So for things like Amy's 50th birthday party / concert with Kenny Loggins.
Oh.
Great. The whole neighborhood can kind of, like, hear, and, like, a lot of them can see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And their next door neighbors, who are a couple named Mark Taufik,
Taufik?
And his wife, Carol Nakahara, they let their house be used for filming an episode of Dwayne The Rock Johnson's TV show Ballers.
Oh, and okay. That's nice of that.
Bill and Amy are not pleased, because if you've ever seen a movie or TV show shoot, you know that it comes with, like, a massive production crew. There's all these trucks and equipment and noise and lights, and they're doing night shoots and blah, 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 blah. That aside, the sculpture and the lighting. Oh, they also have lighting on the sculpture at this point.
Well,
so they can see
it
lit up at night. Right.
You want to see it at night.
Yes. But this is, like, a bridge too far for Taufik and Nakahara. They complain that the netting in particular has ruined their picture perfect view of the Pacific Ocean. Carol calls it, quote, legitimately like a big soccer net, and they file a complaint with the city of Laguna Beach. And Laguna Beach sends out an inspector in July 2020, and Gross is cited for not having the proper permits for the sculpture, the lighting, or the netting.
Oh, wow.
And this is where things start to get, like, very weird. So we're going to take a little
weirder.
Break.
We're about to get weirder. You're
we're
telling
about
me
to get weird. Yeah, we haven't weird. Been weird so okay. far at all.
All right. No.
We're going to take a little break. And then after the break, we're going to hear how Bill and Amy respond. And I will get to the Gilligan's Island theme.
I can't wait.
I promise. Okay.
I'm here.
We'll be right back.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Okay, we are back. And I am just going to give you, I know I said I was going to get to the Gilligan's Island theme, but I feel like it is important to just like know who Bill Gross is.
Yeah. So what I need to know from you is why is he so rich? That's what I always want to know. Where does this money come from? Yep. Is it family money? Is he a self-made man? And what about Amy? Yep. What about Amy? Does she come from money? What do we know?
Yep. Okay. So Bill Gross is a billionaire, but he's not just any billionaire. He is the bond king. He is the guy who revolutionized bond trading and started the investment management firm PIMCO, which might sound familiar to people because of the Varsity Blues college admissions scandal, because one of the PIMCO, I think maybe the CEO was like caught up, not Bill Gross, he was caught up in the Varsity Blues and I believe went to jail.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that's an aside. Like, I don't think I can like understate just how big of an impact this guy had on the financial world from his office in Newport Beach, California, from the early 1970s through the 2010s. And he did not come from a super wealthy background. He was born in Ohio in 1944. He moved to San Francisco with his family when he was 10. His dad was in sales for a steel company. His mother was a housewife. So not like an enormously wealthy background, not a poor one. I would say like probably like upper middle class.
Right. Yeah.
He goes to Duke University in the early 60s. And while he's there, something happens to him that completely changes the trajectory of his life, which is he gets into a car accident in 1966, which is his senior year of college. And while he's recovering, he reads a book called Beat the Dealer, A Winning Strategy for the Game of 21, which most people probably know as blackjack.
Blackjack.
Yes, yeah. Blackjack. Mm-hmm. So he decides to go to Vegas with $200 in his pocket, like $200 in cash, and he starts essentially counting cards. He eventually makes more than $10,000, which he uses to go to business school at UCLA. And Bill was always like an extreme person. He once ran 125 miles from San Francisco to Carmel, California over 6 days on a dare. And the last 5 miles, he had a ruptured kidney.
Wow. And he just said, screw it.
I'm doing this.
Yeah.
He was also, and this is important for our story, he was also someone who held a grudge. So he had wanted to play basketball at Duke, but he got cut from the team. And I read this biography of him that described it as, quote, an insult he would nurse for decades.
Wow. I respect that. I like a grudge holder. I do. As kind of a grudge holder myself, I like someone that'll hold a grudge for that long.
He will hold a freaking grudge. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to get like too much in the financial weeds, but like, let's just say by the 2010s, he has amassed a fortune of $2.5 billion. And he's giving money away. He's also married to a woman named Sue Gross.
Okay. This is pre-Amy.
Okay. Yeah. He's pretty much considered a genius in the financial markets, but has always been kind of socially awkward. And in 2013, just as his fund has its worst year since 1994, his demeanor at work also changes. And he had always been like a tough boss, but now he starts getting like pretty nasty, even to people sort of high up at the firm. And he leaves PIMCO in 2014. And joins a rival firm. And in the press, it's painted as Gross had been behaving, quote, erratically. And in 2015, he sues PIMCO for constructive termination and breach of contract. And this is what the writer Mary Childs had to say about this lawsuit in her 2022 book, The Bond King. Mm. This is a quote.
Every time you say that, I think about the Sausage King of Chicago.
Oh, totally. Gross's determination to beat PIMCO in the market and in court consumed him. For all his riches and for his old age, he commuted and clocked into work every day, trapped by his own inability to let go. Even if a better self wanted to be golfing in Indian Wells all the time, he could not indulge. Now the thing that got him out of bed was to triumph over those who had overthrown him and his undying desire to, quote, prove it, to show them.
Wow.
So this is the person we are dealing with here.
This is who we're dealing with.
And then in November 2016, his wife, Sue, files for divorce. And,
I can't blame Sue.
Yeah. So Bill is allegedly blindsided, even though for all intents and purposes, they've been separated since the summer. And she was living in one of their other, she was living in their other houses. They had other houses in Corona Del Mar, which is in Orange County, and they had an LA house. And the last straw is a dinner that they have in October where he demands to know whether she's coming back. So he gets angry. She walks out. He chases her to her car and screams, "That's what you always do. You run." And she does.
Why do we know so much about this?
Well, because it all came out in their divorce proceedings.
Oh, of course.
December.
I love rich people's divorce proceedings. You find out so much fun shit.
He texts her in December and says, "Feel peaceful while you can. War of the Roses ahead, and I can predict the winner." Another email that he sends from his work account says, "You are a piece of work and surely not a friend for a long time. Coward, too, to not say why you really wanted a divorce. I feel utterly betrayed and will not shy from letting people know."
Yeah, he's vindictive.
He's real vindictive. And Sue Gross is like, okay, well, I can play dirty. So she freezes the checking account for the couple's foundation, which costs the charity almost $3 million in tax penalties. Bill says that Sue, quote, showed up uninvited at the Laguna Beach compound, screaming at housekeepers and pool cleaners to leave her house once she allegedly arrived with an armed security guard. Court documents also indicate that sheriff's deputies were called more than once. She also allegedly takes a Tiffany clock from his bathroom, another clock that came from the Kennedy White House, 20 bottles of wine, Christmas decorations, and a 1,000-pound statue.
Oh, okay.
She's just, I feel like it's like supermarket sweep. Like she's just like, I'm going to take this and this and this. And like, just like, yeah. Like random shit.
She's just walking through that house. Going, yes. You know, and this multi-million dollar statue.
Right. Exactly.
And that fork. I want that fork in that mug.
I'm also just like, how do you just take a 1,000-pound statue? Like, that's right. Hard to move.
That's not just going in the trunk of your car.
No, like she planned this. But Bill is a real, I would say he probably subscribes to the idea, like, if they go low, we go lower. Because what he does next, Joe, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, he buys sprays that smell like farts and puke.
No, he doesn't.
You weren't ready. No, you weren't ready.
I was not ready. I thought you were going to say, oh, well, you know, he had his lawyer call and demand the statue back. And okay.
Yeah, no.
I didn't even know you could buy these things.
Yeah. But he spritzes their main residence with them. And Sue finds the empty spray bottles in their trash. She also finds dead fish and dirt in the air vents. The cord to the treadmill cut. She finds flowers decapitated in their pots.
Oh.
All the remote controls are missing. She finds balls of human hair in the drawers. She also finds the
hair. Whose hair? I love the remote control. I love the missing remote control. I knew this guy in high school named Tommy. Uh-huh. Who, when people would throw parties, he'd steal the remote. And that was like his thing. And I was like, God, this is the best fucking prank ever. Because
that is so mean. Like,
you can buy a universal remote, but that was back when the remote control really mattered.
Yes.
There was no Amazon. You'd have to go to Best Buy.
Yes.
Yes.
So also, so Sue had painted portraits of their three cats on pieces of furniture.
What and furniture? Do you know? What
I don't know, but I do know that she comes to find the eyes and mouths scratched out of the portraits of the cats.
Okay.
He also hires a private investigator to follow her, and they file restraining orders against each other.
I would hope so. I don't want these people to ever be in the same room ever again.
She ends up spending almost $40 million on houses in their Irvine Cove neighborhood in Laguna so that Bill can't buy them. And he finally gets one for $36 million in cash. His son stops speaking to him after Sue files for divorce. And in 2019, Bill tries to block the sale of three very rare stamps that he had given to his son, whose name is Nick. And Nick tells the New York Post there was never an agreement that the stamps would not be sold. This is another example of my father's bad and vindictive behavior, which is why I've had to distance myself from him. If he would like to have the stamps back, he is welcome to buy them at auction.
Okay.
So,
do we know how much the stamps were worth?
Yes. So the estimate for the stamps was $3.4 million, but they end up selling for only $1.9 million because of all this like bad publicity and
there's bad juju around these stamps now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Totally. I would definitely ask for a discount on stamps with such bad juju.
Okay, so that all brings us back to this burgeoning fight with his neighbors. So, as you may recall, in July 2020, Mark Taufik gets the city
of Laguna. Mark Taufik. Now I'm thinking about Topic from The Cutting Edge. You're bringing up so many good 80s movies from me, right?
He got the city of Laguna Beach to cite the Grosses. Mm-hmm. They're married by this point after they put up the netting, and they are pissed. Bill and Amy are pissed. So what do they do? I mean, this is a guy who sprayed farts in his ex-wife's house.
He just sprayed that house full of farts.
So Bill and Amy start blasting music at all hours from speakers that they set up like right on the property line. And remember, the houses are very close together.
So close. Right.
So they're blasting Led Zeppelin, 50 Cent, and more bizarrely, the theme songs from Green Acres and Gilligan's Island.
Ooh, this is not a 3-hour tour that I want to be on.
No. Mm-hmm. So 3 days after the Laguna inspector comes out, they're playing this music at almost midnight, and their neighbor texts them to ask them to turn it down. And Bill responds by saying, "Peace on all fronts, or we'll just have nightly concerts, big boy."
Big boy. Big boy. I want to stop for one second.
Yes.
And just throw out there, these are grown ass human beings.
Yeah. Thank you.
These are grown up humans who have been very professionally successful in the world, behaving like fraternity boys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Worse.
Yeah.
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 More money, more problems.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So we're going to take another and then we're going to talk a little bit more about this feud and it escalates to the point. If you thought things were like absurd up to now, they get even wilder. So we'll be right back. Okay, so when we left off, we have Bill and Amy Gross. They're blasting music at their neighbors, but they strike first. They sue them in October for invasion of privacy. They claim that Mark had been spying on them, photographing them, and filming them, quote, including in various stages of undress while they swam in the pool.
Don't skinny dip.
And the next day, Mark Taufik sues them for harassment. At this point, we're like, off to the races. Like, we've got lawsuits, we're paying lawyers, we're just like, anything goes at this point.
Right. Everyone is suing everyone.
Everyone is suing everyone. Okay, also keep in mind, this is summer 2020. We're in the height of the pandemic. We are pre-vaccine and they're going to court in Santa Ana. And so in the book Bond King, she writes, they testified that they just enjoy music, in particular, the theme from Gilligan's Island. And Bill says, we've learned lyrics and we act together with hands and pointing. It's like a little play. We play it because it makes us real happy. Half the time we start dancing, and when we finish, we're looking at each other like it's a good time.
Hannah, we all did a lot of strange things during the pandemic. And this might be the strangest one that I've heard so far. Yeah.
So Amy says that the Gilligan's Island theme song was special to them because the summer before they learned that Newport Harbor was featured in the opening credits, and the view at another home that they own there was identical to a clip from the credits.
Well then. You know,
isn't that special?
That is special. That is a reason to play the Gilligan's Island theme song on repeat. If I had that view from one of my many homes, I would probably commemorate it as well. Gosh. Yeah.
So she says, I love that song. It's a very special song.
Mm-hmm.
There's one court exhibit, which is a video of Gross, of Bill crouching in his boxers behind the wall abutting the two properties. You can hear 50 Cent's In the Club.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Bill
Another
is
a classic.
Bill is dancing. He's pointing his fingers and swaying as Mark films him. And after a while, Bill crouches, kind of hiding. The 50 Cent song peers out and the music changes to the Gilligan's Island theme. Bill looks up, sees his neighbor's camera and says, we're going to subpoena that boy, so you'd better erase it. That's harassment. Harassment.
And again, this is an old white man.
Yes.
He's in his
70s.
Yeah. Old white man in his underwear.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want everyone to have that image in their heads.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And they try to settle. The neighbor declined and said that he would donate the total that everyone had already spent to Orange County food banks. And the neighbor says, no way. This is Bill Gross trying to buy his way out of accountability for his horrible behavior. And in December 2020, the judge sides with the neighbor and says that Bill and Amy had indeed been harassing them. But that's not what the judge rules that Bill and Amy were harassing their neighbors, not that their neighbors were harassing them. And she bars Bill and Amy from coming within 5 yards of the neighbors, except when they're on their own property. She bans them from
playing. Because the houses are right next to each other.
Exactly. She bans them from playing music above 60 decibels outside their home when no one is in the backyard pool area. There's a 3-year restraining order. She tosses Gross's claim of harassment. And he says that he is disappointed in the outcome, but he's going to abide by the terms of the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Joe?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Do you think he abides by the terms of this agreement?
No.
Good answer. No.
I'm going to go with no. I don't trust Bill as far as I could throw him.
Well, okay. So in July 2021, Amy takes a video of her and Bill in the pool at night. And I'm going to play you the audio from this video.
What?
And yeah, so they're in the pool, and Amy is in the foreground and Bill's in the background, kind of on a pool noodle, And he's doing the thing again with his fingers where he's sort of like dancing.
Right.
But yeah.
I just, again, these are grown up human beings.
These are grown people.
Grown. We're in the pool. Okay.
Okay. So their neighbor calls the police. And in October, a judge finds them guilty of contempt of court for violating the terms of their restraining order.
But they were in the pool. They were outside. They were outside.
But they're harassing them.
That is harassment. Yeah.
They get suspended sentences for 5 days in jail. They have to pay a $1,000 fine, and they're barred from playing music outside at their home at any time.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
The judge says there was a colossal disconnect between the Grosses' self-serving testimony and their professed desire to comply with the court orders and their actions in defying them. What the court viewed on the videos is nothing short of unadorned contempt.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
No.
In that case.
No. Then in 2022, there's kind of a resolution. What happens is, like, no one really wins.
You know, no one wins in this situation.
No one's going to win.
Bro, because with everything that these individuals have done, no one wins.
Totally.
No one wins. No one looks good. No one looks good here.
No one looks good. So they do get approval by the Laguna Beach Design Review Board and the City of Laguna Beach to keep the statue up. But they have to remove the netting.
Oh, no. What's going to happen with the palm fronds?
And it's just sitting out there, unprotected.
Just out there.
And it can't be illuminated after 10 p.m.
Oh, no. How will they see it from the pool? When they're outside in the pool.
So, you know, in the end, the neighbors wanted this sculpture to be fully removed altogether, and they did not get that.
Right.
But Bill did not get everything he wanted either. And yeah.
Wow. That is a case. That is, I mean, you know, sometimes you start a story and I wonder, is this a case of too much money?
Mm-hmm. What is your verdict here, Joe?
Too much money.
Too much money.
Too much money.
Too much money. It's just too much money.
It's just too much money.
Joe, how do you feel about everything now that I've told you this story?
I feel a lot better about my own neighbors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes I get frustrated with that they're a little loud on a Friday night.
Yep.
Around like up until like 10 p.m. And then I'm sleepy.
Yeah.
But I always, I holler out the window and tell them the baby's going to bed and they turn the music down. I mean, I feel a lot better about my neighbors. I feel a lot better about my taste in art.
Yes, you should. You should.
I do. And I kind of feel sad for Bill and Amy because this, and I know that it's very easy to be like, oh my gosh, rich people. Like, I feel, I would never want to be rich because look how terrible they are. But it feels like they're trying to fill some kind of emptiness in their lives. Like boredom. This had nothing to do with the art at the end of the day. They just wanted to get vengeance and be vindictive. And you can hear the glee in her voice. So I do. I feel a little sorry for them.
Yeah.
I think they seem like deeply unhappy people, despite all of their billions of dollars. And I do not think I would be unhappy if I had their billions of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, this was just Bill's personality, like his entire life. Like he would never let anything go.
Never.
And we see what happens when people like crossed his path. So it, but I think you're right. Like, it seems like a very sad way to live.
It seems like a sad way to live, right?
Yeah, it does. And ultimately, ultimately very isolating. Like, who is in his life now? Not his son.
Not his son.
Not his ex-wife. Like, it's just him and Amy against the world, which, like, it's kind of, it's sad.
Who is he going to borrow?
And I don't say that in a way that, like, I feel sorry for him.
No, I don't feel sorry for that. No, no. But, like, who's he going to borrow a cup of sugar from? He can't go to his neighbor's house.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No.
I mean, he probably has some in the caterer's kitchen, but yeah.
No, you don't. You run out.
It's true.
You do. And the stores there, they close early.
They do.
I'm just saying, I don't think that you're doing yourself any favors over there, Bill.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Joe, this has been really fun. Thanks for coming on this journey with me.
Thanks. I feel, you know what I love about these talks? I feel better about my life now.
Good.
I do.
Good.
Just a little happier with my own circumstances.
Good. I'm really glad to hear that because, as I think we know, maybe you can be too rich.
Like a Midas touch by the very first time, I make decisions with my wallet, not my mind. Too much money for one person to control. Ooh, audacity will not buy back your soul.
Too Much Money is hosted and produced by me, Dori Shafrir, and Joe Piazza. Music is by Lisa Brenner, and our network partner is Acast. Thanks for listening.